Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That'd be this one. That'd be Alabama. I'm talking about this show. Whew, goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you guys, so you hear the ads playing during the break, right? When you hear those ads playing, consider this. Right Side Radio is a standalone business. We are not owned by the stations that you listen to us on. We are a syndicated show, but with our own standalone studios, and we got to run a business like everybody else. And one of the ways we support that is by selling ads. So if you're listening to the show and you're a business owner and you're thinking, oh man, those guys got it going on. They're always saying things like, I believe. They're laying it out there where the baby goats can get it. And you know for a fact that a bunch of Right Side ruffians probably feel the same way you do because you're listening, that maybe they might want to also buy your goods or services. So the thing to do then would be to advertise on Right Side Radio. Let me just suggest to you, if you want to do that, you don't call the stations, you have to call us, all right, because we own the advertising inventory. So you contact us, you go to our website, it's super easy. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org, click on the advertising and contact tab, send us a message, and we will get back to you ASAP. So yeah, you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, we'd love to have you on the team. Go to rightsideradio.org, click on the advertising tab, and then send us a message, and we'll get back to you. All right, hey, listen, by the way, you just had breaking news. It had been rumored that there was a possibility that Trump could be nominated to be Speaker of the House. I think the odds are slim that he would get elected, but I think it would create an interesting dynamic. It's certainly going to be a news story. Absolutely a news story. And so, yes, I would imagine that if a group of congressmen are willing to say, I nominate Trump and I will therefore vote for him in the first round just to test the waters and see what happens. That's a story, y'all. And you heard it breaking right here on Right Side Radio. I'm pretty sure nobody else in the state already had that in their hopper. That was the first thing you heard on Right Side. All right, tell you what. Get that sound effect there ready, my brother, because we got to spend a few minutes before we hit that top of the hour time with the Grand Council. Do a little cooking of some home fries. Yeah. Cook them up. Cook them up. So here's the deal. I say we call it home fries because this is when we talk about stuff back home. Things you got to know about in your backyard. It is so easy for us to get locked into what's happening in D.C., or what's happening in the world stage, you know, what's happening with Afghanistan, or what? Those are all important issues, granted. But I'm going to be honest with you. I spent 8 years in the Alabama State Senate, and I became convinced that there's times when what happens in Montgomery or in state politics in general can affect us more than what happens in D.C. That's why we have a 10th Amendment, because states have a sovereign right to enact laws on behalf of their citizens. And so I want to make sure that we never lose sight of where we are. And so several things that are happening right now, you need to know this. If you remember, we've talked about it multiple times on the show, the whole redistricting. Congressman Barry Moore, who was on, I didn't ask him the question because we had so much else to talk about. But Congressman Barry Moore is in a unique position right now. And that's a great guy, by the way. And he represents CD2, Congressional District 2, down in South Alabama, the Wiregrass. You know, and reaching up towards the Montgomery area, Pike Road, and Pike County. And we just got shafted as a state because we have had our congressional district lines roughly the same now since 1992. And with not too much deviation, they have stayed roughly the same. And we have 7 members of Congress from our state. And those district lines have remained largely the same, and yet this year, all of a sudden, they were racist. Actually, it was last year. Racist. Racist! But wait a minute. We got the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Come on! Well, no, Alabama. Now you've got to be more racist. but I thought you told us not to. Nah, don't take our word for it. Just go ahead and do it. Well, we're stuck. So our congressional district lines were forced into a redraw, and we appealed it. And the 11th Circuit three-judge panel said, nope, we're going to go ahead and say, yeah, you got to redraw it. And everybody's jaw dropped. We're like, what? So it went to the Supreme Court of the United States. You're not going to make us redraw them, are you? No, surely not. Yeah, we really are. What? Shocked. Y'all, this is not an Alabama thing. It's an Alabama thing, but it's not just an Alabama thing. There are multiple states right now sitting on pins and needles because they recognize that they're about to have to redraw all their congressional lines too. Congresswoman Terry Sewell, the only Democrat in our U.S. delegation, has already been out there saying, yeah, the next thing we're going to do, we're going to start redrawing the county commission lines in Jefferson County. Ha-ha! See what's happening here? It's a power play. Their goal is really not, oh, let's make sure that we take care of the downtrodden minorities. That's not their goal, because they don't care about that. What they're hoping for is a, quote, more Democrat district. Now, the assumption being that black voters will always vote Democrat. The reality is the majority of them still do. It's an enigma in U.S. politics that there's been a lot of groupthink and also, by the way, a lot of taking advantage of black voters in the United States. Well, so here we are. We have now submitted our forced redrawn lines and then got them rejected again. Why? Because you didn't come back racist enough. We told you. Don't you make me tell you again. That's it. I'm doing it for you, said the court. So the court has appointed the special master. He's a good guy. I know Richard Allen. I've always liked Richard Allen. But Richard Allen, he didn't just come back with a map as a special master appointed by the court. He came back with three. And those three maps, y'all, completely gerrymander everything about Alabama's congressional districts, even to the extent that the great guy you heard on the air a little while ago, Barry Moore, Congressman Barry Moore has been drawn out of his old district. He's been drawn into another district with another incumbent congressman, and if he's going to run for office again, he has to run against another sitting congressman. I don't know when that's happened in Alabama history. You've got two elected officials, two congressmen, both doing ostensibly a good job, sitting at home in their districts, suddenly finding themselves drawn into the same district and they have to run against each other. That sucks. That is absolutely just a slap in the face. Meanwhile, the brand new Congressional District 2 is looking like it's going to be quite the wingding, but I don't think it's going to necessarily be a shoe-in for Democrats. But it's still just arguably insulting that it happened the way it did. Okay, there's my predicate for just one of the stories I've got in Home Fries. So, story here on 1819 News, Dateline yesterday afternoon. The panel of three federal judges said they will soon choose which map will be used. So, here's the other thing. We had Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen on the show, last week? Wes Allen said he's got to have the data. He's got to have the new maps by, you know, early this week. Well, we're already middle this week. He didn't get them yet. Why? Because you have to then send them out to all the registrars for all the counties so they can all check their district lines. Some of the counties are split different. Some are moved out of their old districts into new ones, and they don't know how to draw up the ballots. They don't know how to notify the voters. You may think you're voting in congressional district. By the way, it's going to change me. Butters, you and I just found ourselves, no matter which map they choose, we are no longer in the 4th congressional district. We're going to be in the 3rd with Congressman Rogers, where we've been with Adderholt now, you know, most of my life.
And I hate that. I mean, I don't know Congressman Rogers, but got to know Congressman Adderholt a lot through local stuff here, and he was a huge supporter.
But that rendering plant, he came out to the culminating event we have, the big party. It was great to see him that night too.
Oh yeah.
Well, so anyway, the bottom line is, story here on 1819 News is, under all three proposals submitted by the court, Democrat candidates would be favorites or at least competitive in both congressional districts 2 and 7. So we could wind up with going from 6 Republicans to 5. We don't know yet, but that's the way it breaks out right now. And they're not even, by the way, in a rush. They said that they had a hearing, I think it was yesterday. So they hadn't even gotten to the point of having a hearing until this week. And then they went ahead and said, and we'll make our ruling, in their words, shortly. In other words, we'll get back to you. So what's next for us? Who are we looking at? What is Terry Sewell going to have opposition? Well, apparently so. So right now, there's a member of the Alabama Democrat Party, longstanding state senator. I served with him in Montgomery, Bobby Singleton. Bobby's a hoot. Senator Singleton has now announced that he is considering a run against the incumbent Terry Sewell. Why? Because the district lines have been redrawn. And the question now becomes, is her district unsafe for her? Because she's more of a Birmingham Democrat, whereas Bobby Singleton is what we call the Black Belt Democrat. And the Black Belt now has more geography than does the Birmingham portion of the district. You see what they did? They just went ahead and just kind of just hosed this thing all the way around. So Bobby Singleton, by the way, is as liberal as they come. Just saying. I've met Terry Sewell, but I know Bobby Singleton. And I'm going to tell you, of the two, I'm going to go ahead and hazard that Bobby Singleton is the more liberal. Then you get into what's happening in the second congressional district. We had my friend, State Senator Dick Brubaker, on the show the other day. He announced that he's exploring the idea of running for this brand new congressional district. All right. Dick is a former Republican state senator. We served together in Montgomery. He's a good dude, very conservative. He's also a white guy. So you look at it and go, huh, that's interesting. Can a Republican win? Oh, by the way, was it drawn with race in mind? Does that mean that it's drawn so that only a black candidate can win? Well, who would that be if they did? Right now, the leading potential is liberal mayor of Montgomery, Stephen Reed. Liberal mayor of Montgomery, Stephen Reed, is the son of the longtime chair of the state Democrat Party, Joe Reed, who was a power broker in the teachers union. Wouldn't that be a hoot to have that in your congressional delegation? And then you got to look at it and go, who else is out there? Well, right now, you've got former candidate for governor Lindy Blanchard. She lives in the district. Got a medium probability of running, they say here in this article I'm looking at from Yellowhammer. And then Twinkle Cavanaugh, who runs the Public Service Commission. Kind of low probability, they say, of her running. But her name is out there, and she's got statewide name ID, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But I'm just telling you, home fries, listen, pay attention to what's happening in your backyard. Because you guys are about to have your entire congressional district in upheaval. If you think the Speaker of the House situation in D.C. is something, picture that times 10 in your Alabama congressional delegation, as people right now don't even know where they're running because they haven't got a map to run on. It's crazy. It's madness. All right, Butters, tell you what, bro, let's take the break right now. We'll take a break. We'll come right back and do a little more home fries. And there's an interesting thing going on in our state labor force participation rate. Coming up tomorrow, we have Speaker of the House, State House, Nathaniel Ledbetter with us, and I'll tell you why when we come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, making it cool to be a conservative and saving the world, one soundbite at a time. Take a few text messages here real quick. Francisco from Huntsville says, would nominating Trump and he accepting the gavel, would that suspend his trials? No, it would not. If yes, could he then continue to run for president, win, and then be tried? He said, I've never seen a sitting president on trial. The world's never seen a sitting president on trial. The world's never seen anything like what we're seeing right now. So the bottom line is, to answer your question, accepting the gavel would not suspend his trials. He could then still continue running for president while he's also Speaker of the House and still be tried. So all those things can still go on. You can't make this stuff up, man.
Does he get to be Speaker and President at the same time?
No. I'm pretty sure there's something in the Constitution about the division of powers.
And under house arrest?
No. There's no house arrest. All right. John from Huntsville says Chuck Norris ought to be the Speaker of the House. I like it. Mark from Laredo, Tennessee. Home fries. Let's cook up some home fries. You got another sound? You got a home fries for me? Give me some home fries, bro. Cooking up some home fries. Real quick, Brad from Limestone County. My speaker nomination is David Stockman, director of the Office of Management and Budget under Reagan. Wow, is he still around? Is he still alive? He also served as Reagan's debate opponent during the debate prep. I recall that. Scott from Decatur says, Phil, the legislature should deliver their map and put the court in their place. The Constitution left this to the legislature. We did deliver our map. That's the problem. We delivered our map, and by law it was rejected. So we're stuck right now. Now, we're appealing it. Just don't worry about this. We are appealing it, hoping the Supreme Court's going to give us room to see a change. But in the meantime, I don't think there's anything we can get done in time to not have to run on the new maps for this coming session or this coming election. Last thing I'll say, brand spanking new in the text lines, no name and know where you're from. We need to know. I'm sorry, Norma. It's Norma from Northwest Alabama. Norma, we're glad you're in there. She says, in these new districts, what if it's a really close race and about, say, 70 household ballots are found incorrect after the election? Well, that's why they have election law challenges. Norma, as an attorney, I can just tell you, I was actually the attorney for a woman running for city council where the registrar's office did a bad job of notifying people their new district lines had taken, you know, effect. And my client lost by one vote. One vote. So we identified a dozen that we thought should be challenged because of where they were. And we challenged them, and we were successful. We successfully challenged, and the judge agreed that nine of them needed to be checked, except that when we opened them, they didn't all go for my client. And we opened them, and when it was all said and done, she still lost by one. I told the judge, I said, what's a heck of a thing, judge? We won the case and lost the race. But yes, that's the mode. Every ballot is allowed to be challenged in court. That is part of the law of the state of Alabama, and we'll see where it goes. I'm not going to get to all this stuff, but I got to tell you, there's tomorrow we're going to have the Speaker of the Alabama State House here in studio with us, Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter, who hails from Northeast Alabama. We're going to talk about a piece that came out in Yellowhammer News dated yesterday. The Speaker has here's a piece of home fries for you. All right, I'm changing the subject. We're not on pure politics. Alabama has one of the lowest unemployment rates in the nation. 2.2%, which is awesome. We also have one of the worst labor force participation rates. What? Yes. What it means is those who are looking for a job, most of them got one. But we have a whole lot of jobs that are unfilled, meaning a lot of people have either dropped out of the labor force or the labor force has more vacancies than there are people to support it. That's one of the post COVID effects. People disappeared. They resigned, they retired. There was a lot of natural attrition. But then at the same time, Alabama's experienced some exponential growth, especially in Huntsville and Mobile. So Huntsville, Mobile, Baldwin County, Limestone County, those areas are growing like weeds. And we've seen the influx of new jobs, and we don't always have the people to fill them. So the Speaker of the House, he's going to be here tomorrow to talk about it. But he just set up a committee to begin reviewing this in great detail. We have 140,000 job openings around the state of Alabama right now. Bottom line is this. If you can, you know, walk and chew gum, you can find a job in Alabama right now. You want a job, they are out there. But he points out we're lacking 100,000 workers over 16 years old. He said our labor force participation rate is at a mere 57%. That's awful. That means we've got to get some more people in here. We need a few more Californians to vacate their state and come here. But yeah, there's that. And then lastly, and I'm not even going to have a chance to get to it, am I? All right. I'll tell you what. I will hold that. But you might want to know the state's getting $270 million from an opioid settlement, and there's already people lining up for it. We want some of that, says this department and that department. And hey, let's spend it all on government. That's a great idea. Not. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We're coming right back with the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. Yeah. We'll be right back. Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.